Peyton Thorne on a short leash. Buckle up.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Talk about some of the interesting things that Hugh Freeze said on the teleconference that he had yesterday. Said some pretty eye-opening things, particularly putting Peyton Thorne on a short leash on Saturday. We're going to break down what that means and some several other things as well. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. You can see it at the bottom here. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a deposit bonus. That means you give them $100. They're going to give you another $100 back on top of it to play with absolutely free on your first deposit. So get your account set up. You got all the football lines that you can dream of. First half, second half. Cover your regular spreads, all kind of stuff, parlays, all the good stuff that you can get anywhere else. Check them out, mybookie.ag. So if you're not familiar with how media works during the week, typically Mondays is always a local media press conference. It's Hugh's press conference. It typically happens around lunchtime. He then goes to Tiger Talk. It used to be on Thursdays. Now it's on Monday night. So he does two media appearances on Monday, and then Wednesday is a teleconference where some of the national media, if they couldn't obviously come to Auburn on Monday, they could jump on the teleconference and ask questions. It's basically a press conference over a Zoom. I mean, that's a lot, very, very similar to what it is. So you get a little bit more information as the week goes on. Wednesday, he's obviously seen a full week, a full padded practice on Tuesday, and he's able to see a little bit of action after some of the meetings they had on Sunday and Monday. And he said, he said 100%, after watching the film, there's a very short leash on us playing as poorly as we did at the quarterback position versus Cal. Big, big words. It's something that I feel like a lot of people have been waiting to hear, hoping to hear, maybe thought it should have been going into the year that way. But it seems that Hugh is tired of seeing practice be executed every single week, every single practice, but it not carrying over into the game, which is something that we've talked about, over the past several days, that it's no doubt, it's no secret, it's no doubt that Peyton Thorne does all the right things when there's not a lot of lights on him, when there's not a lot of pressure on him, and when, for whatever reason, when we get into the game and things get tough, when things are good, he's electric. When things are good, when they're able to, protect him. And I think I said that at the very beginning. This is going to be a very similar situation to 2017 where – I always felt like if you could protect Jarrett Stidham, we were going to win the game. And I kind of felt the same way about Peyton going in. I just didn't know it was as severe as it could be, as severe as it was, as what we saw on Saturday. But yeah, there's a short leash. So what does a short leash even mean? Okay. Hugh seems a lot less, I don't want to say a lot less. He seems to put way more emphasis on decision-making than he does, I guess, maybe being able to make the throws accurately or things like that. And what I mean by that is it seems like it bothers him a lot more, even if they make the correct even if they make a good throw, if he makes the wrong decision. I've seen it several times where there's a big completion, but Hugh is still chewing the quarterback from the sideline. He's still mad from the sideline, even if he has somebody open. He chose the wrong route. I think one of those happened in Alabama A&M, and I was kind of shaking my head, like, what are we upset about? Like, we took a shot And it was the one where Perry ran the stutter and go, and is actually, you know, a pretty good throw. Perry probably could have, you know, I bet if you ask him if out of 10 times, how many times he makes that catch, and he probably says at least, you know, 8 or 9 times out of 10. But we had somebody open over the middle. Peyton made a safe throw. He made a pretty good throw, but he made the wrong decision. It seems like Hugh is very, very keen on decision-making over actual, being accurate. In other words, if you make a big play, but you made the wrong decision, we're going to talk about that decision more than we're going to talk about the big play, because look, it could have been a freak thing. It could have been just a great play. But like, if we're not executing between our ears, not making the right decisions, that play right there is probably not always going to be there. The play that was just made is probably not always going to be a big play. It could sometimes end up being a turnover or you know, put us in a bad position because you made the wrong decision. So it short leash to me probably means way less about moving the football and completing passes and not taking sacks. And, you know, he may be scrambling for some first downs. But if the reason he's scrambling for some first downs is because I missed my second read that was open, I never saw it, and then the pass rush flushed me and I had to run, those are the type of things I feel like, just based off of listening to Hugh over the past year and, you know, close to 2 years now, and getting to know what kind of makes him tick, I feel like that's going to be the emphasis. And that's going to be what we're watching. Is Peyton able to diagnose the play when there's a pass, when things get a little tough, when things get, you know, we're going to have an offensive line shuffle this week, which we're going to talk about later in the show. So could there be some pass rush hiccups? I mean, pass blocking hiccups, maybe so. And when that happens, does he make the correct decisions? And I think that's what that means. We're going to shrink the playbook a little bit. We're going to condense the playbook a little bit to make the reads maybe easier, not quite as much of a package when you walk up to the line of scrimmage, and see what happens. See if we can get in the correct. I think this is another thing. Can you get the offensive line in the correct protection? Can you get them? You know, that's one of the things that the quarterback is big on. I have to see where I feel like the rush is coming from, and I have to set the protections. Is he setting the protections correct? Is he checking into the right play? Does Hugh play some games where he may call a play knowing that the defense is going to be lined up to stop that particular play? Does Peyton check out of it into the correct play? I just think there's going to be a lot of mental stuff that Hugh is going to be watching way more than did he throw the out route to correctly? Was he accurate on the back shoulder? Was he accurate on the swing pass? I'm sure that's gonna play into it a little bit, but I feel like most of it's gonna be between the ears, because that to me is Peyton's biggest issue. That's always been his biggest issue. He's not overly gifted physically, but he's good enough and accurate enough whenever he is comfortable to make all the throws and be a serviceable quarterback. But the problem is that's few. Those times are few and far between. Okay. We're not as talented yet on the offensive line as we will be if we keep recruiting and keep building like we are. So the odds that we're going to have a clean pocket every single time, the odds that we're going to pick up the blitz correctly every single time are pretty low. So you have to be able to react with bullets flying. I mean, you have to be able to make decisions with live rounds coming at you. And that seems to be where Peyton has always struggled. So, and then on the flip side, it seems like Hank is sort of the opposite, where there may be some physical gifts that Peyton has that are a little bit more than Hank, but Hank seems to have, at least from all accounts, maybe a little bit more easiness between the ears than Peyton. And it could be that he's just so young that hasn't experienced that adversity quite yet. But we'll see what happens on Saturday, what that short leash actually means and how it plays out. It could be interesting. The verbiage we've never had that verbiage before. And honestly, that verbiage is typically stuff like that lights a fire under players. I don't feel like Peyton's that guy. I don't feel, and I go back to last year when you had to basically give him the job, even though he was probably the correct, it was probably the correct decision to give him the job last year. You give him the job so he wouldn't press, so he'd stop pressing. So now you're telling me as a short leash, maybe you don't care anymore. Maybe it's like, look, I've been protecting you for 15 games. Now, look, this can't happen anymore. You're on a short leash. Deal with it. And that's sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to do that with players. You have to just tell them, hey, you got to suck it up and deal with it because we can't have this anymore. So that is verbiage that we haven't seen, and I'm interested to see how it plays out Saturday. I want to talk about these meetings and some key things that were said that was very, very impressive to me, and I think goes to show that there are no people that were the narrative that he's making excuses, he's not taking ownership. These meetings and whatnot, I think that showed quite the opposite. Before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with retirement results presented by Active Wealth. Start building your successful retirement plan today. And if you're already doing it, if you already have a retirement plan, let's make sure that sucker has it all what you need, has everything you need. Let's make sure that it has as little fees as possible. Let's make sure that you're maximizing your Social Security benefit. Let's make sure that you're taking advantage of products that you should be taking advantage of with your current situation. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Get your free portfolio analysis. Tell Ford War Eagle. Tell him I sent you, and make a friend at the same time. Retirement Results, Ford Stokes. He's the man with the plan. QB meeting. So Hugh went a little bit further in depth on the meetings that he talked about on Monday. He said that we have 15 plays. We have 15 plays that we feel like changed the game. And we basically didn't pull off a single one of them. And I want to have a meeting with both quarterbacks separately. And then I want them to teach me the play. I want them to, from the protection, from every single thing, what they're seeing, I want them to teach me the play. I'm going to sit back. We're going to go one by one all through all 15 plays. I'm not going to say a word. I got my man Ken Austin. I got my assistant Jesse Stone and some other, other offensive assistants. We're going to sit in here. You're going to teach us this play. You're going to walk us through this play because, and this was the key thing. This is the key thing that I took away from it. And again, this goes back to people saying that Hugh is blaming everything else but himself. This is textbook proof that you just don't know what you're talking about. He basically said, I believe first you have to look at yourself as coaches, and I want to make sure we're doing an accurate job of teaching them. We've done an adequate job of teaching them. What's the best way to do that? Okay, I'm going to shut up. We're going to run through this play. You're going to tell me everything that I've taught you. You're going to tell me, walk through every single thing about this play, why you did this protection, why you did that, what does the defense look like here, what are you looking for here, and then why did this happen the way it happened? Because I got to find out if I'm doing a good job as far as helping you learn, and we're doing a good job helping you learn the correct way to diagnose this situation. I think that, and I don't know if he's never done this before, I think it was this Saturday was a real reality check as far as where you are as an offense, where you are with your quarterbacks. I think that shows a lot of humbleness to say, look, we got to sit back. Okay. I can say we called the right plays. I can say that people are running open all I want to, till I'm blue in the face. And you could be right. And I could be right. I could be correct that we had players open all over the place. I could be correct that we called the right plays and they would have worked had they been executed. You can say all that all you want to, and you can be correct. But if the kids can't understand how to execute, if the kids don't get it how to execute it, then that's a coaching issue. So what am I going to do to remedy that? I'm going to sit down, I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to listen to them teach me what I've taught them and make sure they're actually understanding, actually grasping what is going on. And I think that's I don't know. That one resonated with me. I think that says a lot as far as understanding reality, understanding where you are as a team, as a coach, as a your quarterback situation. I think it helps open up a lot of conversations that maybe wouldn't have happened prior. So I was very impressed by that. I think it probably helps instill more confidence in the actual quarterbacks too. Okay. To actually be able to, tell you what I was thinking. Okay. And then, hey, well, okay, you were thinking this. Well, let me tell you why that's incorrect. And this is actually what you should be thinking there. And it helped. And that's an opportunity to help, correct them and get them going in the right direction. He did it with both players. I think both of them said most of the right things. And so, hey, okay, if you're understanding it, if you're getting it and you're explaining it to me correctly, why aren't we seeing it on the field? And I think that's been the theme of this week. Do you understand what we're teaching? Yes. Okay. Do you know where to go with the ball? Yes. Do you know what protections you're supposed to be in? Yes. Do you know what checks to go to? Yes. Okay. So we know we're on the same page on all those things. Now, why isn't it happening on the field? That's the next step. And that's where the short leash part is coming into. Okay. We've gone through the mental aspect. Are they prepared? It seems like they're prepared because we just had this, we just had this teaching session. And they passed every single thing in the teaching session. Okay, so we've got that side of it. Now it's all execution and in between the years. And that's why I think you see the comments of the short leash, because I think he's realized, okay, I was worried. I was concerned that maybe I was concerned and wanted to verify that they actually understood what we're instilling in them. And it seems like, it seems like we are. It seems like they do understand it. We go through play by play and everything's correct. So now we have to put it on a short leash because something is lost from the time we leave the practice field till we go to the stadium and bullets start flying. So I love that approach. I love the honesty. I love that he shared that. I think that shows a lot about his relationship with the quarterbacks and how heavily involved he actually is. And I hope that it yields good dividends on, Saturday maybe. So we'll see what happens. But I think that was something very, very interesting to talk about. The offensive line is going to be let me go back really quick. Reps on Wednesday. I told you about the quarterback reps on Tuesday. I got a little bit of intel that Hank got a little bit more of the one-on-ones, not one-on-ones, the ones V1s in the 11-on-11. First team reps when they were doing, full team offense type stuff. Same deal on Wednesday. His reps didn't really go up, didn't really go down. Sort of, he's still getting a lot of first team reps. So through two of the workday practices, Hank is still getting a ton of first team reps. And there are some players, okay, I'm not going to say who they are, but there's some players that feel like there's a very good chance Hank either starts or plays a ton Saturday. So that's something fun. That could be something fun to watch, but we'll see. Offensive line, shifting to the offensive line. One thing that I've been told about practice was that, we were curious how the Dylan Wade situation would happen. Would he slide out to tackle where Tyler Johnson could slide over to – I'm sorry. Would Dylan Wade slide out to left tackle where Tyler Johnson could slide to right tackle, and then you'd figure out the guard situation? Well, it seems like Percy Lewis and Ronan Chambers are getting a lot of reps this week as well, which would signify to me maybe you're not making as much of a change on the left side as you are trying to figure out who that right tackle could be to step in and play. I think that could be something that you're probably going to see a lot of different formations. You're probably going to see a lot of different lineups on Saturday, not formations, lineups. Saturday. And I'm curious to see who runs out first. We'll obviously be updating as soon as the lineups are announced, but I'm not sure what the best scenario is. I honestly feel like we just slide Dylan Wade out to left tackle, put Tyler Johnson on the right, and then figure the guard spot out. You got a bunch of different guys that you can choose from, and then sort of mix and match from there. I hate I don't want Tyler Johnson could be a franchise guy. He could be a franchise left tackle. And I don't really want to do anything to move him around too much. But I think this probably, honestly, could be the best lineup, maybe just in general. You know, having Dylan at left tackle, him at right tackle, that may be the best lineup in general instead of just the best lineup for Saturday during the injuries. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But anyways, that's going to be all for today. If you haven't signed up for The Barn, you're crazy. You need to sign up, thebarnauburn.com. It's only $1 for the first month. You get all kinds of updates. I'm getting practice updates daily, basically, and I'll try to update all those kind of behind-the-scenes type stuff every single day. We got recruiting stuff. We got to feel like we may be on commit watch this weekend. If you're a member of thebarnauburn.com, you already know who that is. And just overall, great conversation. We got a tailgate brewing this weekend. A lot of stuff that you can get involved with. Check us out, thebarnauburn.com. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, and we'll be back again tomorrow. And we're also going to drop the Hoops Pod tomorrow as well. Me and Zep talking about this five-star basketball visitor that's coming in this weekend and a big four-star that came in this past weekend. He's not the only one recruiting at a high level. So let's have fun. Appreciate you guys. Have a great rest of the day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.